This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? What about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, oh man, Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good. Kevin, I just learned that you really love fireworks. And so I wanted to share this story real quick. I was having dinner with a guy who, he grew up in Buffalo. And he was when he was a kid, they would ride their bicycles across, they would ride across the border to Canada. Because I guess fireworks in Buffalo were illegal, or in Niagara Falls or wherever he was. And so he would ride his bicycle across there, and he said they had these little passports. They'd get across, they'd go buy fireworks right on the other side, and then they would take apart their bicycles and shove all the fireworks into the little piping areas, and then ride their bikes back across and smuggle in fireworks across the border. And I was like, that at first I thought probably what you were thinking, that they would put it on their bicycles and then, you know, they would
have the most badass ride you've ever seen.
But instead they were saying, you know what? No, we're just going to make sure that we have these fireworks whenever we get home. So I'm looking, that's an awesome story.
That's where their life of crime began.
Yeah, there's more to it too. But Kevin, one day, maybe if you need some fireworks, we can smuggle some across the border for you. But they're legal in Texas, right?
In a lot of areas.
In the areas that have wet surroundings.
We're in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I think we should open up the show today with which frequent guests from Sean and RJ do you think will get the next management position in DFW sports? So, Brett Boone has taken over as the part-time hitting coach, pseudo-offensive coordinator. The way they do that is still really confusing to me. So, which guests that they have on frequently do you think will get a job in an organization? Nick Harris.
Well, I mean, he's running the Star Telegram now. So, you know, like, he's taking that over.
Do you think Mike McCarthy could get a job with the Cowboys again? He was on their show a lot.
After he denied Pat McAfee his vape pen, I'd probably so. You know, he was like, nope, no thank you. I got business to take care of here.
Okay. Alec, or the
How can I ask the future players to not smoke weed if I'm here doing it?
Or the Frankel injury attorney text line 877-881-1053. Who will be the next frequent Sean and RJ guest to get a position within one of our organizations? Alec, is there anyone you like to throw out, like to champion their cause?
Jerry Jones.
I could see Nick Eatman getting a very important job. He seems like he's up to the task. He can handle the pressure.
Yeah, I like it. All right, so we'll keep an eye out on if Nick Eatman will be named the passing game coordinator or some such.
What could Jerry Jones' next job be? You know, like what it would be the next thing.
Actually, you know what makes sense, the most sense coach, if you think about it, is for him to hire Sean, RJ, and Bobby, since he was about to take away their other jobs.
Makes sense, yeah.
So it only makes sense that he would be like, hey, you're done, but I'm going to give you a different job.
You're back here with us.
Yeah, that would be nice. Let's see if we can make that happen. In the meantime, let's talk about the Texas Rangers. Do you think a new hitting coach in the aforementioned Brett Boone, who is going to be on tomorrow morning, it sounds like, with Sean and RJ, and the return of Evan Carter could be the next step to lead to a rejuvenated offense.
Anytime you've had, you're hiring a new position and there is like a problem with the last person, when you're doing the hiring part of it, doing the interviewing part of it, what do you, you've been through this process before where you're going to fill the position of somebody that they didn't love. Well, how are you going to do it differently than this guy? So what happens? They tell you all the things that this guy did, and you learn all the things that were going on so that you can change your messaging, so that you can be a little bit different. And that's what they're wanting, is a different voice from this. And it sounds like his messaging, from what they understood, is very different from the more analytic style.
Yeah.
So I am hopeful that line of earn your home run swing, that line really sticks with me, because Kevin, we've seen how many 877-881-1053. How many people out there have been furious with Adolis Garcia just swinging away at every pitch?
Sure.
And that's just one example.
His home run swing feels like every swing.
Yeah, that's just one example. And, you know, with Jock Peterson, I'm still looking at him like, I don't see a dude that's seeing it. You know, he just looks like he's a little slower with the swing. And so maybe Semien, that's a different approach with him. Instead of, I don't know, though, if you get this across to Corey Seager. Corey Seager doesn't earn his home run swing. He just swings.
And look.
So that's another thing. We'll get to Evan Carter in a minute, but.
Maybe we want to ask Bruce Bochy this tomorrow, but Brett Boone is not Corey Seager's hitting coach.
No, he's not. Like, and that's
Corey
an absolute.
Seager has his own hitting coach.
Yes. And you know, granted, so does Jock. Berger. So do all these guys. But maybe the messaging they were getting before will be different than the messaging their hitting instructors have been giving them. So we'll see how that goes along. But I am hopeful that they, you know, go out there and score 9, 12, 20 runs tonight. And otherwise, we got to let him go. You know, like, that would be a bad thing.
Now, one of the things that Chris Young said yesterday, you know what? Let's go to Chris Young, cut number one. We might have to start and stop this. Some of these answers are longer, but he did give a lot of in-depth answers. One of the things I took away from this is he talked about wanting to make a change, because by no means, does Chris Young think that this season is sunk?
Well, just really, you have to look at the overall performance of the team. And at a point at which there's still a lot of baseball left, but the trend lines are really such that we decided that we need a new voice at the top to help get the best out of our group. And unfortunately, we felt like it was time to make this decision and part ways with Donnie. I mean, really, this is not a reflection of Donnie necessarily. I mean, this is all of us collectively, myself, the coaching staff, Boach, and of course the players have responsibility anytime a decision like this is made. But we did feel like at this point in the season, with a lot of baseball left.
Let me pause you right there. Now, it's the second time that you've heard him say that. I don't mean that as a critique. I mean, if you're looking for the reason that this happened, besides the trend lines, which we can get to in just a second, multiple times, there is a lot of baseball left in this season, and he felt like he needed to make the move now while there still is enough season left to salvage, you know?
Yes.
And if you look at the numbers, he was talking about the trend line, so obviously the direction things are going, and we can dive further into that. But for the entire season, Texas Rangers, 25th in slugging, 26th in batting average, 28th in on-base percentage, 29th in runs scored, and 29th in walk rates. So you are bottom two in multiple categories, but you're bottom fourth in like most of the measurable offensive categories, and that's why it happened.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You have to make a change whenever things aren't going well. Otherwise, you do what happened last year. You wait patiently and say, well, the result was there last year, you had a complete season of the similar bad results that you're having right now. So, all right, we got to move on from this and see if we get something else. Again, because we think that this roster that we built, that financially we are invested in, can do better. And so we have to figure out, unless it's time to start stripping down the team, and they're not there yet. They're not prepared to do that yet, because with some of the players, you kind of have to admit that you might have been wrong about taking the gamble on them. And other ones, you're like, man, that big contract is significant, and I have to deal with it for a while, and you got to go tell your boss who gave you that money to do it. So you have to make decisions that you hope or will set you up for better success.
From the 903, fix Marcus, Garcia, Jock, and Berger. Only tweak Heim, Young, Smith, Higgy, and Langford and leave Seager alone. Now, from the 469, I don't understand. Carter wasn't hitting in the minors. How's he going to hit in the MLB if he can't hit in the minors? Sigh. False. And that's one of the tricky things when you have to look into the trend.
What's false? Yeah, okay, good. What's false?
That he's not hitting in the minors. False. All right, so let's take, if you want to take the entire year,
yes.
Yeah, I get it.
Four numbers.
But we talked about it. He was awful to start the minor league season. But look at the last 3 weeks, all right? In the last 3 weeks, he's hitting .284 with a .351 on-base percentage and an OPS, which feels like kind of the go-to stat for a lot of people now, is .928. And he's picked up his frequency of being able to play in games. So Round Rock just finished their week. That's six games. He played in five of them. So over the last 3 weeks, you've seen more durability in terms of Evan Carter being able to get out there. You've seen more contact, and you have seen some more power, hence the OPS. So I hear you on the left-handed thing. I'm still with you on that. But I don't think we can say he just hasn't been hitting in the minor leagues, because I think that is inaccurate.
Yeah, dude. Actually, going back, I'm trying to figure out, Kevin, going back to early April, he was getting 1-2 hits a game down there. And I think everything before that was kind of like, oh man, why isn't there a bunch of home runs coming out here, a bunch of doubles and triples?
He started off horrible.
Yeah, he did start off bad, but he's picked it up of late, April 20th. Go from there on, and you're feeling pretty confident about it. And I think the other thing that people really, or that the club needed to see was, does he look healthy? But does he look like the back is still a problem and that he's never going to be able to play baseball again? You know, like the team really needed to see that he looked healthy again. And I think that's the thing that they're seeing when they're watching him run out triples, trying to run out inside the park home run. They said, no, he's back.
And I think both of those signs are particularly encouraging. Look, we're going to do the segment later in the show. I'm still not entirely sure how Evan Carter fits, because I know a lot of people were like, well, obviously you moved off of Leody. He's going to be your everyday center fielder. I do think he'll play some center field. I just don't know if I think that is an automatic plug and go.
Hearing Chris Young talk about him and his approach, I think it marries itself to what Boone does. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like,
he doesn't go up there trying to hit every ball out of the park.
For sure.
He goes up there and he's like, I'm actually trying to walk if possible. Like, if I can, but if I see my pitch, I'm driving it. He's not one of those guys swinging at everything. And I think that's if I can get that in the lineup, and it's proven through him, this is pinning a lot on him, Kevin. If I can get him in the lineup and it's proven that the way he goes about his business at the plate works, other guys in the lineup will see it and say, I got to do that too then, especially if that's what we're preaching.
As long as they don't do the thing at the very end where if it's a strike and he disagrees with it, he stares down.
That
the
is
umpire.
A little bit.
Corey Seager can do that.
I hope he's
that's fine.
Grown in that respect just a little bit. Even Wyatt kind of now is different with his approach.
Although
there.
Wyatt at least is like, look at the numbers. I helped get the ABS system put in place in spring training. All right. Do you want to hear from Chris Young about Evan Carter?
Sure.
Or Alejandro Osuna?
Osuna. Obviously.
Let's go to cut number 10. What about Alejandro Osuna?
Yeah, Alejandro's doing wonderfully. He's again, he got off to a little bit of a slow start at AA too, and of recent, he's really turned it on. I was in Frisco last week and got to see him play. He tripled and homered the game I was there. It was fun to see. Continues to get better. You know, the next step for him at some point will be AAA. My guess is that will be relatively soon here. We'll kind of get through today and talk with the PD group and see kind of what the timing on that may be. But he's doing wonderfully. But, you know, he's a work in progress.
Let's go and pause it there. I think that part is the relevant information is you're about to see him jump up to AAA, but still the work in progress. So while I continue to have fever dreams about the fact that Osuna could have made the team breaking camp, let alone make the team now, I like that Chris Young is like, hey, I saw him when I went to see him in person. He was unfreaking believable.
I like how he downplayed. He had a triple and homer on the game that I was there for.
Yeah.
It's just casual.
But so that's the next step. They're going to move up to AAA, and then we'll see what goes from there. And that will be fascinating because obviously you hope you don't have any injuries. Unfortunately, that is just part of all sport. But even if you don't, if Evan Carter struggles, then I'm curious if we go back to what we're going to talk about later in the show about Josh Smith being in center field and then a little bit of Osuna maybe here and
trade
there.
Trade Adolis, and then you have your full outfield the way you want it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would be super intrigued by an ultra-young outfield, but I think you could play Osuna some in right field absolutely as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the players most deserving of winning their first Stanley Cup. How many did the Stars have? That might be what we talk about. Or we might end up talking about that stupid Winnipeg Jets song. Dax on the Fan.
Sweet pass from Jamie Benn. Front of the net. Redirects the Duchesne goal.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, this is tricky because what I really want to talk about is the old guy without a cup rankings.
I love
that. To see where the Stars are on this list.
Spittin' Chicklets actually was talking about that.
Yes!
Yeah.
But then another thing developed that I feel like we need to discuss as well.
All right.
It's this really stupid Winnipeg song. Now, we're not going to play the whole thing, and I'll tell you exactly why. So we're going to go to cut 13. I want to give credit to these people who put this song together. At some point during the end, a dude does a backflip off of the little like sitting ledge around a fountain.
Doesn't it look like in this video they snuck into the arena?
Yes,
and they were doing it like without the permission of the group.
And that's why they didn't have time to come up with better lyrics. But the guy who backflipped off, I thought that was really neat. So we're going to play cut 13, part one. Keep in mind, this is edited, and what I did was we went ahead, or what Alec did, I didn't do anything, was take out the second part of this because they just say the exact same thing over again. So I want you to, I don't know, enjoy, listen, whatever, this dumb song. All right.
No.
You might be wondering.
Burn that song to the ground.
Oh, that's the better part of the song.
You're kidding me. You said better?
No, that's the better part of the song.
I didn't make it past that part.
Well, you should have. Because they repeat that exact same verse.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they got nothing. And guess what?
So nice. You had to hear it twice.
But not only that, at the end of the song, they repeat it a third time.
Gross.
But what we really needed to do was get rid of that second pass through. And let's go to cut number 14. And this is where they decide to talk about the goalie. And look, you might have thought Kendrick Lamar
is already starting to
was a master wordsmith. You've heard nothing yet. Just wait until you hear part two of this song.
That's Connor Hellebuck, buck, buck. Yeah, Connor Hellebuck, buck, buck. Yeah, Connor Hellebuck, buck, buck. Yeah, Connor Hellebuck, buck, buck. That's Connor Hellebuck, buck, buck. Yeah, Connor Hellebuck, buck, buck. Yeah, Connor Hellebuck, buck, buck. Yeah, Connor Hellebuck, buck, buck. Connor Hellebuck,
that's all. Is Connor Hellebuck?
Yeah. Here's a new lyric. Connor Hellebuck, buck, buck. Your song effing sucks, sucks, sucks. Like, all right.
That is terrible.
So I just want to set up the way this song goes. So look, we could have just played the 2 minutes song. That song is 2 minutes long.
2 minutes of your life you'll never get back.
So what they do is the first part, then they repeat the first part, then they do the Connor Hellebuck part, They kind of repeat that, and then they go back to the first part again. That's the entire song. It's 2 minutes long, and to Corey's point, it does look like they broke into the stadium or into the locker room at some point, and that's why they're doing the song.
From the 903, sounds very Canadian. From the 214, WTF, guys. From the 817, oh my God, banned them from hockey forever.
Oh, this is my favorite one from the 972. Who did that? Is that Kids Bop? Man, as somebody who listens to a lot of Kids Bop because of Noah, that does sound like some Kids Bop right there.
Please stop playing this song, Alec. Somebody said that's kind of fire, and they hope it wins G-Bag of the, gets G-Bag of the Day.
No, I don't want to hear that again. I'll be listening. I don't want to hear it again.
My thought on this is that obviously Bobby needs to respond, and he needs to create a song that goes back at them for making this terrible, terrible song. And I think I'm okay with it, and I'm proud of Bobby if he does it.
Like, I forgot to time it out. I think it's something like 19 seconds of them just saying, Connor hella buck, 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 buck. There's so many fun words that rhyme with that. All right? You could have had a blast with that. It might not have been Kids Bop eligible. From the 817, I don't know hockey, but now I hate them.
That's See? Connor
hella buck. Oh, stop! You, no. I swear, if he wins a game and you play that, I will launch myself out of that window. I will do it.
From the 817.
It'll be on your hands.
That's definitely AI. Maybe AI wrote it, but Corey, you saw the video.
They look like
you
they're
sent
singing
me
it.
The video. I watched the entire video multiple times because my brain could not comprehend what I had just seen. It is very real people that are in that video. And like I said, that one guy does a backflip. Everything else about that video I hate.
That's the most Canadian song I've ever heard. It sounds like Carly Rae Jepsen and Maple Syrup had a baby. Yeah, hey, listen, man, I watch a lot of Letterkenny. I watch a lot of Shoresy. There are some songs that have that kind of beat that just kind of play in the background of stuff. They never have terrible lyrics like that, though.
Okay.
Maybe that's all they could do. They were like, hey, can we do this video? And they said, we'll let you in the arena, but you can't do anything saucy. You can only say the names of our players.
And that's what they did. All right, here we go. Twitch, YouTube, fan text. All I need is a yes or a no. Do you want to hear that song again? That's all I need. I don't need any other commentary, but I want to see if people want. Yes, at least one of those people is wearing a beanie in the video for that person that asked. Absolutely. At least one of those people are. Do you want to hear the song again? Yes or no?
I hope Winnipeg goes on the longest playoff drought in sports history after this. Same.
It sounded like Same. That was Hansen doing a hockey type of song. So 877-881-1053.
Got two yeses so far, Kevin.
No.
There are a lot more no's.
Good. I think I found my new weapon of mass destruction, though, because you guys remember when I would use this to trigger you guys?
Rattle, rattle, thunder, ladder, boom, boom, boom.
I think we found the new one.
I still love that one. That still cracks
that
me up.
That one's awesome.
Rattle, 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 boom, boom, boom.
I noticed?
Those are better lyrics.
The people who are no are more passionate because the yeses are mostly yes. And the no's, there are a lot of, hey, you could have, they put Connor Hellebuck no is what they really went with.
From the 817, probably the worst song I've heard in my life, and my kid watches Yo Gabba Gabba.
Oh, I hate Yo Gabba Gabba. Play that again, I'm charging you with assault. So
somebody said F it, play it again.
So I don't.
They're just like, why not? Today's one of those days.
No! So I just needed you to know that was out in the world. And I'm really disappointed that when they had the Winnipeg Jets reporter on this morning that Sean and RJ didn't just play that song and be like, no, you're going to sit here and listen to all of it before we ask you any questions.
Do you remember the song by Rebecca Black?
Friday.
It's Friday. It reminds me of. I actually, Kevin, the other day, it popped up somehow like in YouTube, and Carter was like, what's this song? And I said, don't play it. And he started playing it, and he was like, why? Why did I choose to play this? And I was like, you're right. That's what it gives me the vibes of, is that song, the Friday song.
For the 903, you know Justin Trudeau approved of that song. Didn't they just elect a new prime minister? I don't think that guy's in charge anymore. All right. Shamefully, yes. Let's hear it so we can hate it more. Man. This is like, I still think the no's have it.
So that song soon to be on every TikTok. Probably. That's what happens. That's how TikTok songs go viral.
Okay.
They put it in the background of something dumb.
Holy moly.
It's the softest sounding song ever. And that's the
thing.
A
lot of thoughts.
The stars have what? Pantera.
You know,
like that. We got awesome music that plays around here. And up in Canada, they got that stuff. And fireworks that you can bring across the border.
From the 214, definitely top three worst song. Play it again. we'll see. It's
why do we need to look up current day Rebecca?
No, it's do we?
I don't know.
It's too close to call. I think the no's have it for now. In the meantime.
Well, she looks different.
The players. All right, Alec, it's me and you the rest of this segment. The players most deserving of winning their first Stanley Cup. So we go to
Pavelski.
Well, he is not active anymore. So he's not on the list.
In my heart, he's active.
Okay, fair. Well, let's say for the purposes of this segment, Corey, we're going off of your brain.
Real life.
People that are actually still playing.
Gotcha.
How many stars are in the top 10 or 20 old guy without a cup?
All right, so I'm thinking, I mean, Jamie Benn's an old guy without a cup.
True.
That is certain.
That is true.
Sagan has one. He had one in his rookie
Correct.
Year.
Miko has one.
Really?
Hmm?
I'm trying to think of old people on this team, and Rantanen has one. So
there's another one that was pretty agitating in the first round.
Oh, Dumba? Oh, hold on. Agitating?
Matt Duchene.
Oh, yeah. How old is he?
48?
50?
No, he's 34.
That's old in hockey. I mean, that's old in like, he's been playing for a long
yes,
time.
He's 34 and Ben is 35. So on the list, Matt Duchene is 7. Jamie Benn is 6.
Emotionally, I mean, listen, I love what Matt Duchene brings to the table on this team. He brings offensive energy, like you probably know, stick, puck handling. Skating, phenomenal. Sometimes defensively, does he lack a little bit? You know, like on the shorthanded goal you had the other night, you're like, hey, let's get back there a little bit. I love Matt Duchene, but Jamie Benn has been our captain for so long.
Yes.
He epitomizes what you want as a leader in this organization, and he's been a great captain for this team for that time. Now, granted, they've been competitive and still haven't gotten that cup, and that he feels like that falls on him a lot. But even after that game the other night, Kevin, they win. Was it picks up the puck for one of the game winners. Then the other night after they win, he's not even like super pumped as they're walking in. He's just like, all right, we got to focus on. I want Jamie Benn to have a cup so bad.
What would you think about this idea? I've seen some people suggest, let's say that the Stars score kind of like a soft goal. And the Winnipeg goalie just like wasn't totally locked in. Do you think instead of the Dallas Star song, they should play this?
That's Connor.
No. From the 817, they said, what about Connor? They're not talking about this Connor, right? They're talking about a different Connor. Not this Connor. I don't want Connor. I never want to hear Connor Hellebuck's name again. And I feel like I'm going to tomorrow night.
Okay, I wanted to.
Oh, that's irritating me.
I wanted to.
And I sent that to y'all. That's even ticks me off even more. Man. I unfollowed y'all on social media because my ears are bleeding now. What? Thanks to y'all.
Dadgummit, we lost another one.
Now ESPN put out their own rankings of what players are most deserving of winning the cup. That one is a good little bit different from the old guys without a cup from The Athletic. On that one, Duchene is number 10, but Jamie Benn is second. Jamie Benn is second behind only Brent Burns with the Carolina Hurricanes. He is also number 1 on The Athletic list, old guys without a cup. He is legitimately 40 years old.
How are his chances this year?
They're not going to win.
Okay.
Because they're going to lose to the Stars. He's played almost 1,500 regular season games.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, he's been around for a really,
they're just
really,
propping him up on
really
those skates and pushing
time.
Him out there, aren't
they? Yeah, which is kind of what we did with Joe Pavelski, who was the previous leader in this category for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So there is an update on some of your old guys without a cup. I kind of wanted to throw Jake Oettinger out there because I think he doesn't get enough credit already. But he's not old enough to be in this category.
Is he like 27?
Yeah, he's or 28. He's young.
He is young, man. Yeah, no, I get you there. It does feel, we go back to the game seven that he lost.
Yeah.
And Brian Warrior was pointing out that was Calgary. Wasn't that like his first series or his first run through the playoffs? I can't remember if I'm correct about that or not. I'm trying to remember when Ben Bishop got hit in like the chest area and what we had to do there.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Oh, those are the best.
I feel like we have baseball nuggets coming up, but
we're not playing that song again in another
segment. Oh, aren't we?
No, we are not. I will not. Oh my God.
Oh man. they rhymed Connor Hellebuck with Hellebuck for like 19 seconds. That's a real thing that happened. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, the mind-boggling start of Aaron Judge. And if you're sure, I'm not going to try to play that song again. Next, right here on The Fan. That's Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah, all right, I have a question for everybody out there now that y'all have done this. Y'all did this, Kevin.
That was the audio I called for?
I can't believe Alec did that to y'all. You get one option. You have to have this option for the rest of your life. That song right there that Alec just played, not the one that's playing right now, but the Connor Hellebuck song.
There's another verse to it.
Is there? Or is it just that?
No, there's another part.
So you get that song for the rest of your life.
Okay.
Or Junk for Joy for the rest of your life. 877-881-1053. All right, what's the topic for Baseball Nuggets?
Right now... Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. Whew, I need to refocus. All right. Let's talk about Shohei Ohtani. Go ahead and give me that home run, Alec.
Ohtani smokes the ball to right field. Does it stay up? It will. Second two-run blast for the Dodgers today.
Shohei Ohtani hit a home run yesterday with an exit velocity of 117.9 miles per hour as the hardest hit ball of the season.
Oh, man, they're weak, huh? I feel like they should be hitting harder.
I don't totally know if that was what I was going for, well, but for
him.
Okay. I mean,
good for him. Yeah, Shohei's going to continue to just do amazing things like that.
Now, somebody who I think we have no doubt has been crushing the ball this year, Aaron Judge. Give me a little Aaron Judge, will you? That's Connor Hellebuck.
I like this. I like this text. Stop it. Where can I find that song? I want to create a poll. Should we vote Canada off North America? That's a great one. Is this more reason for us to take Canada over?
I think this was done so we don't try to make Canada the 51st state.
Well, like, that's the thing, though. Once we take them over, they have to do what we tell them to. So,
oh, man.
Isn't that how it goes?
Not necessarily historically, right. But seriously about Aaron Judge. Yesterday, he didn't have a hit. Before that, he was on a 14-game hitting streak that was tied for the longest of his career.
Oh, wow.
In his first 34 games, consider this. This stat is freaking wild. Aaron Judge had a batting average higher than any on-base percentage of any player in the American League. His batting average was higher than any other American League player's on-base percentage.
But just with hits.
Yes.
Hits alone, he was better than
yes.
you.
Yes. He had more multi-hit games, 17, than he did one-hit games. It feels like the Rangers don't even have 17 multi-hit games this year.
Yeah, I feel like I
think they do, but it feels like maybe not. He has more. Think about this, and shout out to Baseball Reference for this. Aaron Judge has more three-hit games this year than no-hit games. He has six games with three hits. He has four games with no hits. And if you want to take it to the next level, if you think it's just power, he has more singles than Luis Arraez.
Oh, man!
That is back-to-back National League batting champion, Luis Arraez.
He's going to be MVP again then, isn't he?
Oh, my God.
I mean, for sure.
And
again,
at this pace.
We discussed this the other day. There's no way this pace can continue all season long.
For sure.
We saw it last year with the home run pace. It kind of fell off at the end of the season because
yes.
it just wears you down. That being said, you know when you're in the zone like that, You just do anything you can to stay there. Like you, whatever I can do to stay in that spot where I'm seeing the ball like it's a basketball, I'm swinging the bat like it's a toothpick. Like that's what he's feeling right now is the bat's super light and the ball's gigantic and it's leaving the park. And the fact that he's not just a great home run hitter, Kevin, but that he is also as good of a doubles and singles hitter as anybody else out there, that makes him a special hitter in this moment. And I guess, as Juan Soto told me, because I thought Juan Soto was the best hitter in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
He said Aaron Judge is the best hitter in baseball, and I think that's proof right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if, look, we talked about this the other day, even if he falls off a great deal, there's still a good chance he wins MVP. Can I give you one more amazing Aaron Judge stat?
As long as it's not
I promise it's not a trick. I promise it's not a trick. I don't think we should undersell how terrible that other verse is either. Like, we might need to play that again just so people get an idea. All right. With runners in scoring position, what do you think is Aaron Judge's batting average?
Runners in scoring position. So is there's going to be less, and he's already that good. And what was his batting average originally?
414.
His batting average right now is 414?
Yeah. It was 423 before he went over.
515.
You know what? That is an amazing guess. Just a tiny bit low. He's hitting 519 with runners in scoring position. Then consider this. In that situation, he has 6 strikeouts. You know how many hits he has? 14.
That's amazing, dude.
So not only is he more likely to get a hit than not, he's twice as likely, more than twice as likely to get a hit than he is a strikeout.
I'd love to see. Now, this is the thing. If you're Brett Boone and you're coming in here, you're looking at the best hitter in baseball and you're saying, let's try and get everybody to hit like that, right? Like, that's ultimately what you would love to have is a team full of guys that are hitting the way he's hitting.
Definitely.
Well, obviously, you're not that guy.
Right.
All right, so what is he doing? I would love to see the numbers that he's getting, the pitches, the amount of pitches he's seeing each at bat, how much time he's spending up in there at the plate, and does he just go up there and swing away at the first one, or is he doing the thing where he's forcing pitchers to pitch to him and to pitch to where he wants to hit the baseball? Barry Bonds did that too. Now, but Barry Bonds did it by stepping over the plate. Again, though, he forced you to do it. So that's it. Absolutely what I would love to see is, you know, what are the ways that he's getting these pitches? Or is it just because his arms are so long, he's such a giant guy that he's able to get full extension almost all the time on these guys?
I'm not saying this is going to happen, but right now Aaron Judge is on pace for a WAR of 13.1. And you think that sounds ridiculous. Last year was 10.8. Uh-huh. In 2022, it was 10.6. So... And right now, his on-base percentage is .503.
I do believe, Kevin.
Unbelievable.
I do believe the all-time single-season
like
WAR
12?
Leader is Babe Ruth at 14.1.
Okay. So,
but if he ended up at a 13.1, he would be second all-time.
Not that great.
Second, because Babe Ruth's number two is 12.8. Sounds weird. But his second place is 12.8.
Unbelievable.
So if he ended up with a 13.1, he would be a full point behind Babe Ruth's greatest season, but still... ahead of everybody by far.
Unbelievable. Now, I know you'll be shocked to know that Max Scherzer has been shifted to the 60-day injured list with his thumb injury. I know you guys are shocked. You all predicted that Max Scherzer would definitely be healthy for the entirety of the season.
Okay.
No, you did not.
I was like, I don't remember doing that. But
speaking of injured list, Bob Nightingale said he thought this was likely yesterday. Shota Imanaga went on the 15-day injured list with a hamstring injury. Remember, we talked about the day before he left the Brewers game early. Let's go back to the Yankees. Devin Williams, man, he continues to struggle. They had already bumped him out of the closer position. He got lit up again yesterday against San Diego, and we'll talk about the Padres in just a second. His ERA in 14 games this season is now 10.03.
That's pretty impressive for a guy to throw that many pitches and have that high of an ERA.
To put that in perspective, that's like not that much lower than the entire ERA of the Rangers starting pitching combined.
You said
10.03?
10.03. Wow.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. Speaking of San Diego
combined. Padres. Okay, gotcha. Combined, yeah.
Yes.
I was like, hold on, they have a really...
pitchers are good, yes.
As an average. Okay, gotcha.
San Diego Padres, they are now riding an MLB high 6-game winning streak. But Mike Schilt, he got ejected yesterday. The San Diego Padres manager, He was mad. Maybe he knew. I just need to fire up the team for Devin Williams to fail. He started yelling, kept chirping through his sunglasses, and was ejected. I'm sure there's plenty of things.
How do you talk through your sunglasses?
Huh?
You said he kept chirping through his
sunglasses. He kept chirping, and then
through his sunglasses. I was like, how did he chirp? Now, how do you say words through sunglasses?
All right. If you're an official or an ump, you're not going to kick somebody out if they put their glasses over their mouth and like, I think you stink. Like, that's...
Who said that?
Yeah.
Who? Which one of you said that? I didn't see anybody's lips moving.
He doesn't have a glove to cover his mouth. You know, he needs something.
Now, Fernando Tatis also had an ejection issue, and he said, oh, what did I say? I forgot. I'm just happy I got the boys hyped. And then shilled through his glasses. It worked. They came back. They were down 3-0. They won 4-3.
Shilt threw his glasses again?
No, just the one time.
This dude just loves throwing his glasses.
No, just the one time. And they are half a game back of the Dodgers for the best record in baseball, and they currently have, like I said, a league-high six-game winning streak, or league-leading at this point.
This might be a longer conversation down the road, Kevin, because I know we gotta go, but it must be very stressful to try and keep up with the Dodgers.
Oh, my God, I can't
imagine. And be that close all the time, and you may get a little edge, and then all of a sudden you're back, and like just trying to stay there for 162, that's got to stress you out a lot right now.
They're playing incredibly well, and the Dodgers have had some injury issues, and you're behind them.
Does Shohei see the ball better than Connor sees the puck? Puck, puck. See, Kevin, see what you've done.
See, now people are saying they don't want to hear it. But there is this undercurrent of people there. Perhaps the silent majority that do want to hear more of that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We have been so star-centric and focused. How about we catch up on the rest of the NHL and NBA playoffs next right here on The Fan.